Pictured Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
You are God's, little g. You are God's because you came from God.
When I read in the Bible where he says, I am, I just smile and say, yes, I am too.
God came from heaven, became a man, made man into little gods.
We have the potential and the capacity through a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to know God, but that does not mean we are God. The Bible is very clear. There is only one God, and he will not share his glory with another.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It sounds like a crossbeam, but it's actually a weather balloon. Eh? This is Wretched Radio, and that is precisely why I can't use illustrations. There are some preachers who, wow, can they use illustrations to make a point? Paul Washer, if you haven't seen his In Prison sermon series, he did 5-6 hours to prisoners. Wow. And he brought Paul Washer, but as I was listening through it, I was really surprised at the amount of illustrations that he used to color his teaching, to present it in an almost parabolic way to help people understand, this is the truth that I am trying to express to you. And if you read almost any preaching book, they encourage the pastor to use illustrations. Again, I just can't do it. And I think I just demonstrated that because it's going to sound like a crossbeam, but it's actually a weather balloon. The fact that I have to explain the illustration, I think only undergirds the point, I can't do it. You see a crossbeam, you're thinking construction. Well, in my mind, I'm thinking of it's not the patibula. Is it the patibula? Jimmy, what is the in a cross, the big beam that you have to carry on your shoulders to be hung on the tree? Is that the sedulum, is the seat? Is it the cross beam? Can you use your AI machine?
That's what I'm doing. Yeah.
And find out what the cross beam. Carrying that, it is a heavy piece of wood. And what I am going to encourage you to do, it's going to sound like, oh man, that's heavy, Mrs. Marsh. Don't put a yoke on me like that. But when we take the time to consider the command that Peter gives to Christians who are suffering, it is not a heavy weight. It should be like a weather balloon that actually, okay, it maybe doesn't pull you up actually into the air, but it should cause you to have a spring in your step because it's pulling you up. It's trying to not weigh you down, but instead it should be causing you to look up and be pulled up and to joyfully do what Peter, via the power of the Holy Spirit, commands us to do. And it is a command that most likely you've heard before. And let's be honest, our response to this command is like, oh. Because on this side of the veil, it's an impossible command. It's not something that you and I are likely to be able to fulfill completely. It'll only happen when we are one day glorified. And therefore, you hear it and you think, ooh, I'm never going to achieve that. Or you hear this command and you say, well, that sounds a little bit dour. It sounds a little bit, you know, potentially joyless, and I might not be able to have as much fun. And I don't mean that like it's necessarily sinful fun, but it's just, you know, it just seems like it's going to make me feel like I'm living in a cloister or a monastery. But when rightly understood, this command should actually buoy you up. Maybe I should have gone with crossbeam and a buoy. Nevertheless, what is it called, by the way?
Patibulum.
May I just take a moment? Just to enjoy myself for a moment.
Being a cross talk show host.
I should have, that's where I should have started then. It's not a patibulum. It's a weather balloon. Oh, this is awful. What is the command that I've been dancing around now for, well, about 4 minutes? It's the command to, ready for it? Be holy. Be holy. When you hear that, what's your response? If it is anything short of cool, I've been commanded to be holy. I wonder if we all need a little bit of a sanctification adjustment, a different way to understand the call to holiness, preaching through 1 Peter and Alpharetta Bible Church. We are in the section where Peter command after 12 verses of gospel. This is the classic. We've all caught on to this line. After all the indicatives, we finally get to the imperatives. Well, we do. We get 12 glorious verses on the amazing inheritance prepared for you, a glorious treatment of your Trinitarian salvation, the promise of a living hope. These are all magnificent things that are all underneath the umbrella of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And Peter wants to lay that as a foundation for us so that the imperatives don't feel like a patibulum, that they don't feel heavy. It's like, okay, hey, all of this has been done for me. I'm getting on this. What do you want me to do? And so now, after those 12 verses of gospel, he does launch into, it's actually only two imperatives. I said there were six, simply because there were participles that really, I think, had an imperative force. And one was an adjective about being obedient children, which clearly doesn't imply demands. We're obedient children. We should be doing what we're told to do. We should be sober-minded. We should have clear thinking. We should be ready for action. We should be setting our hope on the grace that is to be revealed when Jesus Christ returns. That is an actual imperative, by the way. This might be helpful for you. I don't know if you've ever looked at this in 1 Peter, but Peter tells the believers who are being persecuted in Turkey, probably Gentile believers, new Christians, set your hope on the grace that is to come by being sober-minded, by being on the alert, by being ready for action, by having your loins girded. That's how you fix your hope on things to come. And that's how you have confidence that right now it is well with my soul because I've got a future hope. But then he commands the Christians to be holy, just like God is holy. And if that feels like a patibulum to you, let me suggest that we've been looking at holiness the wrong way. Question for you: who is the happiest entity, the happiest being in the universe? 2, 3, 4. That's right, God. Who is the being that never has regrets? That would be God. Who is the being that has perfect relationships inside of the Godhead? Well, that would be God, of course. In other words, everything about his existence is exactly what you and I should want for our own existence. His existence, it's perfect and perpetually delightful and satisfied. He always has peace. It is always well with God. And that, therefore, helps us to understand why it is so good to be holy. Because if God is all of those things, and he is, and if God is holy, if you and I are holy, then you and I will be like him. So if we want to be happy, if we want peace, if we want no regrets, if we want deeper relationships, then what should we do? Be holy. Be holy. Because God is holy. He has all of those things. He enjoys all of those things. So if we are therefore like him, then we will experience those things too. It is really quite simple and I think quite transforming to consider. Rather than looking at holiness like, man, no, it has a promise. If you will strive to be holy, you will experience God things. You will become a partaker of the divine nature. Not that you become a little God, but you become like him because you're acting like him. You are therefore becoming like him, and you are enjoying all of the things that he enjoys. holiness should not be seen as something that is a big drag, or that God just deemed holiness because, well, he's just kind of a killjoy. Wrong. He wants us to be like him. He wants us to experience all of the good things that he is, and to experience all of the good things, if you will, that he does. And it comes through the channel of holiness. And that means if you and I can do a little bit of theological chiropractory, once again, this is why I don't do illustrations. If you and I can get an adjustment on this subject, it is transformative. So when you're tempted to do what is not holy, you've really got a clear decision to make. Do I want good things or bad things? That's all. Because sin, the temptation, always leads to bad things. The regret, the shame, the dirtiness. Choose holiness, and you won't have any of those bad things. Instead, what will you have? Fruit of the Spirit. And those are better things. And so rather than looking at holiness like a patibulum, let's look at it like a weather balloon. Pulls me up, because it offers me something far more valuable than anything the world can offer. I'll try to make that point emphatically clear next on Wretched Radio.
As a Christian, at some point, you're going to be in a conversation about abortion. Maybe it's at work, maybe it's at Thanksgiving dinner, or maybe even with your own kids. And when that moment comes, you're either going to be ready for the conversation or you're not. Life is Best gets you ready. It's hosted by Scott Klusendorf, one of, if not the sharpest pro-life apologists in the world. Life is Best, all 13 episodes streaming now on Fortis Plus for free. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to Fortis. Plus.org.
Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
Every man knows what it's like to fight a battle no one else can see. You wake up, you're determined that today is going to be different. This time, you're going to be stronger than the temptation. But then evening comes, and there you are again, right back where you started. You're making promises to yourself that you already know deep down that you're not going to keep tomorrow. That's what Todd Friel gets into very deeply with his resource, Play the Man. It's available right now as an ebook, an audiobook, and video series only at fortisplus.org. Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, a lot of ministries talk to individuals, and that's fine. But somewhere along the way, the local church gets forgotten. And we believe that to be a big problem. And that's why we exist at Fortis Institute. We're not trying to be your church. As a matter of fact, we're always pointing to your local church. And if that mission is something that resonates with you, would you consider joining us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner? We know you have questions about what that would look like in your life, and we've got answers at fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel. So here's a question. Who's teaching your son what it means to be a man? Is it TikTok? His football coach? Some guy on a podcast who thinks masculinity means to never apologize? Well, here's the problem. Culture keeps handing men two options. Be a doormat or be a bulldozer. And that's why we created Gentle Man, a brand new video series with Todd Friel and Dr. John Krotz. New episodes are dropping every Monday on Fortis Plus. So download the Fortis Plus app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org. Ask most Christians what they know about hermeneutics, and you'll likely get, Herman who? That sounds like somebody's uncle. Is that the guy that always comes and just stays quiet in the back of the small group? Hermeneutics is actually the art and science of interpreting scripture. And if you don't know how to do it rightly, you're going to read the Bible wrongly. Herman Who, it is streaming right now for free on Fortis Plus. Download the app on your smartphone, on your smart TV, or just simply go to fortisplus.org.
Know your church fathers.
Ignatius of Antioch was a disciple of Peter and John and the Bishop of Antioch. He was arrested and sentenced to die in the Roman arena. As he prepared to go to his death, Ignatius said, "Let fire and cross, flocks of beasts, broken bones, and dismemberment come upon me, so long as I attain to Jesus Christ."
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's not an anchor. It's a lifeboat. Yeah, that's it. This is Wretched Radio. I don't know what malady I have. Well, I got a lot of them. I just don't know exactly what they are. But this particular malady is illustrations elude me. There are some people who are so gifted at using illustrations. Jesus was awesome, obviously, at using illustrations. It's like, boing, there it is. I get it. I can't do that. I try and I just continue to fail. So there's some sort of thing in my brain that's a synapse that doesn't allow me to do those things because they just fall as flat as an angel food cake. See, I didn't even do that right. I can't even get the right food product to use. The illustration. The illustration aside, by the way, a sermon, there are some people who would argue maybe a third of a sermon could be illustrations, that much. They would say that you need to have so much coloring of the teaching so that people can get it. I think that's a lot of illustration. I think illustration can indeed be helpful, but I think didactic needs to be the foundation. And I'd be more inclined to lead toward application than illustration. I don't think it should be void of illustration, but I don't know that a third is I think it's just too much. Because illustrations illuminate, but I don't think that illustrations usually do a good job of convicting. Nor do I think that they lay a foundation. If you don't have the foundation of this is what God says on the subject, you can illustrate all day long and illustrations mean nothing if you do not have the authority of the word standing behind it. So for instance, if a guy got up in the pulpit on a Sunday morning, never read the Bible, just did a bunch of illustrations, you'd go, yeah, 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 and it would have no power because it's illustrating what? A guy's thoughts? It has to be backed didactically. It has to have the foundation of the Word of God. Otherwise, illustrations, I think, lack any of their clarifying power, and it certainly lacks any transformative power. We need the Word preached. Yeah, illustrations help, but then application is oftentimes what we tend to miss in expository preaching. It tends to be, here's 48 minutes of expository preaching. Now, what does that look like? Bang, we get about a minute or two and then off we go. Probably not the right balance either. Not sure I found that balance Sunday morning dealing with a text that I know can feel like it is just so, it's like an anchor, just pulling us down. It's like, oh, be holy. It seems like so much work. And it kind of rubs against some of the stuff that I'd like to do. And it requires that I can't just be lazy all the time. I really have to be industrious. I need to learn how to number my days. I need to be active in my local church. It just seems like a lot. And I can't deny it. It is. But it's not an anchor. It's not. It's a buoy. It pulls us up. It brings us from the depths of our sinful inclinations to good things, to try to illustrate, okay, more like demonstrate that. Jimmy, are you prepared to represent the tens and tens of people that are listening to this here Wretched Radio program?
Absolutely.
Then I'm going to ask you an either or. Which would you prefer? Which would you like?
Okay.
Would you like to have intimate fellowship with God or spiritual dullness? Which would you prefer?
Intimate fellowship with God.
Then be holy. You want that? Then be holy. It's really simple. If you want the good things, then you choose the good way. And the path to the good things is holiness. It is not to just rob you of a good time. It is to produce in us profound good things. Jimmy? Would you like to have a clear conscience or lingering guilt?
A clear conscience.
Then be holy. Number three, would you like assurance or chronic doubt about the status of your eternity.
Assurance.
All right, then be holy. Hmm. It's really simple. You choose the right way and the good things follow it. Jimmy, would you prefer deep, lasting joy or fleeting pleasure followed by emptiness?
It's a tough one. deep, lasting joy, I think.
Exactly. Exactly. But here's the challenge. There's somebody whispering in your ear, this is the way that brings you the most happiness. Do this thing. And you listen to it, and what's the result? That's right. You're Charlie Brown flat on the back because the football got pulled away from you because sin always lies. All right, Jimmy, saw a meme.
Okay.
This is one of those memes that you almost need to see because it has like a capitalization issue. It's the devil, and he's talking to a guy, and he says it's one of those four squared things. You get three wishes in exchange for your soul. The guy cuts the deal. What's your first wish? I want to be rich. The devil responds and says, okay, capital rich. What's your second wish? See, you made him named rich, not wealth rich. See what he did? See what he did right there?
Yep.
Yeah. Yep. Did I mention I can't do illustrations? He lies. He's a liar. And he tricks you every single time. And what is the result? You ask anybody who struggles with a sin and doesn't struggle all that well how happy they are. And yet, like dogs returning to vomit, we go for it because of the deceitfulness of sin. I can't help but think of the common one, which of course is pornography, where men, it's like, okay, I'm going to try not to. Okay, I'm going to do that. And they're miserable. And they're, okay, if you can find a dude that is looking at immersing himself in pornography, who's like, I am so happy from top to bottom. My life is flourishing. I feel great about everything. You're not going to find that guy. Why? Because he's not choosing holiness. Because sin deceives. It tells you it's going to be good, but it's not. Oh, Jimmy, that sin thing. There's a sin thing in the deal. Well, I don't want to get all technical here, but there's a sin thing in the deal.
Okay.
Okay, just okay. You couldn't buy me a little bit of time here to. Okay, I found it. It's in the computer dealy, Bob. Okay. It goes a little something, man, like this.
Some might say I'm only interested in the big things, but that's not the case at all. I love the little white lie. I encourage the second glance at that girl. I hope you take that extra drink. One little compromise. Sometimes that's all I need. I am Sin.
And sin lies. All the time. You fall for it. And what is the result? The lesser things, the bad things, the heavy things. And you walk around because when you're hiding and harboring sin, it's like you've got a surveillance thing behind you. Somebody's watching me. When am I going to be outed for this sin?
You can't tell nobody about me. Besides, we got a good thing going. You trapped, nowhere to go, and no one to turn to. You actually think people could forgive you? Don't worry, your secret's safe with me. I am sin.
And sin will make you feel rotten. So why do we keep going for it? I think it is because we buy the lie and we forget the promise of holiness. The promise of holiness is none of the bad stuff, none of the. I'm stuck. I'm trapped. I'm just any moment my secret is going to be revealed and my life will be destroyed. We don't want those things, and be holy, Jimmy. You've got more options.
Okay.
Would you like to have victory over temptation or weakness and defeat?
Victory over temptation.
All right, then be holy. Would you like to be useful in God's service, or would you like to have just a spiritual sidelining? We don't use you.
Yeah, I think I'd rather be useful.
Than be holy. Would you like to have discernment in decisions, or would you like to have moral confusion? Would you like to be, what was the name of the, I couldn't remember this on Sunday morning. The maid in Gone with the Wind. Do you remember? The pregnancy, and it was a little chaotic in the house, and she's just running around just like she's, you know, just going nuts.
I don't.
Okay. That whatever her name was, don't be that. We're supposed to be sober-minded. We're supposed to be clear thinking. How do you get that? By being holy. You want to be calm in the storm? Because anything that is a squeeze on your life, a suffering, a persecution, a trial, a tribulation, a troubling, it can cloud your judgment. What brings clarity? It is very simple. Be holiness. If you want boldness in prayer, freedom from people-pleasing, credibility, you want to be called on for larger things. You want to have an ordered inner life, then the pathway to all of those delightful things, very simple, very joyful. Be holy. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.